You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, I'm Ricardo Gonçalves. This is SBS On The Money from the SBS Newsroom for this Tuesday, the 8th of December 2020. It is your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap. Later, what the OECD thinks about early access to superannuation. But first, to the Australian share market, which rose 0.2% on the S&P ASX 200. 6687 is how it finished. The Commonwealth Bank led the gains, up 1.3%. Woolies did well, up 2.6%. Some of those iron ore players which did well recently gave up some of their gains. BHP off 0.3%, Rio down 0.8%, and we did see some uninspiring new listings. And for more on that and plenty more, I spoke earlier with Henry Jennings from Markets Today. Henry, the market was little moved today. Why?
I think we're sort of stuck at the moment. I have to say that the American market is oscillating between hope and fear, with the coronavirus cases moving ahead drastically in some states, and of course that stimulus package that is forever on the horizon, but we never seem to get there. So it's kind of in a pivot point, if you like, although we are seeing record highs. And our market is very much following suit as well in terms of that pivot point. We probably need a new catalyst to kick us a little bit higher, and at the moment there isn't one, but there isn't equally a catalyst to kick us lower either. So we're just milling around at the moment at these pretty high levels and concentrating on, I guess, some of the special situations that we've seen in the market at the moment.
There are some interesting bits of news today out company-specific. Link is a standout.
Yeah, Link is a standout. This seems to be a very popular choice for private equity at the moment. We've already seen a bid from Carlyle Group and Pacific Equity Partners for this company at around $5.40, and overnight we saw SS&C Technologies, which is a NASDAQ-listed US software house, bidding $5.65 for Link. So that has really set the cat amongst the pigeons. This would be a trade sale as opposed to what we've seen recently, which is more private equity. So the market certainly believes there is more in this to come, and that certainly a little bit longer to run in terms of maybe even the share price, which is hovering only slightly below that bid price of $5.65 today, and does indicate that maybe the investors are thinking there could be another bid along the way from private equity.
Henry, we've seen a string of successful IPOs anyway at the back end of this year, but not all of them necessarily do well. We saw a couple that didn't debut at a premium today.
Yes, well, some float, some flop, and these were definitely a couple of flops today. We saw a company called Dalrymple Bay Infrastructure, which has been trying to distance itself from its coal focus, but it is a coal company. It has a infrastructure asset that ships coal. It's been trying to focus more on the met coal, which is the coking coal that's used in steel production, as opposed to thermal coal, which is now perceived as somewhat dirty and used in power stations. But it didn't have an awful lot of luck today. The share price came on and it's down 14% from its IPO price currently. So that's not a particularly auspicious start for Dalrymple Bay, that's for sure. And I think a lot of people were concerned about the ESG and the green credentials of what is effectively a coal shipping terminal.
And the other one was U-Foods?
Yeah, the other one was U-Foods, which I guess is following on the sort of the Marley Spoon lockdown era, where we've seen deliveries of not packaged food, but just food that you can make at home. And unfortunately for these guys, they haven't followed the success of Marley Spoon, and it's down 23% on its IPO price. So again, all that glitters is not gold. And this comes, I guess, hot on the heels, really, of the sensational listing and the IPO of Nuix, which we saw only recently, which has pretty much doubled since its IPO price, which has been extraordinary, given that it is, I think, the biggest IPO that we've seen in the market this year. So it really has been a massive success for those people that applied for that one, that's for sure.
Yeah, Nuix is that cybersecurity software company. Finally, yes. Underpayments at G8 Education, and it's a big one.
It is a big one. They did dob themselves in to some extent. They did self-report to the Fair Work Ombudsman, but they have now admitted that they underpaid up to 80 million in wages over a period of time to some 27,000 of its employees. So although we did get a quite a positive trading update from GA Education in terms of occupancy and a bounce back to more normal levels, this shock wage remediation cost of up to 80 million. Certainly the market did not like that. And we're down around 5% today in the stock, but it was a little bit of a shock. I guess it comes on the back of a number of other high profile Australian ASX listed companies that have fallen into the same bucket. But this one does seem to be quite a substantial amount of money for what is not a huge company.
Yeah, G8 Education ended up closing down 6.6%. Henry Jennings there from Marcus today. Now to NAB, which says the economy is experiencing a massive rebound, and that's because both business confidence and conditions rose above their long-term averages in November. That's according to the NAB Business Survey. So for more on that, I spoke with NAB's Alan Oster.
They are much better than we've had for most of this year. Confidence was driven particularly by Victoria, whereas conditions tended to be driven by the state, particularly Western Australia, which were really strong, and also New South Wales coming back.
And what does it say about jobs growth?
That was a disappointment, because what was happening was that you're getting better profits, better trading conditions, but no improvement in employment, and also no improvement in capital spending. So that's slightly disappointing, but it probably will take time as you come out of a deep recession before business will actually do the final things and employ and invest.
And wrapping all that together, right, with conditions and confidence now above the long-term average, can you put that in context? Because we're coming out of a recession. The RBA says the recovery will be uneven. So what now? What does it all mean?
Well, what it means is that when you release from the virus, you get a snapback. We saw that in Victoria. We've seen that in South Australia. And people then have a pent-up demand that they satisfy. But come early next year, when job seeker and job keeper sort of come back to normal or disappear, I think that'll be more difficult. And so we'd be expecting quite a strong growth in GDP at the back end of this year, but maybe more flattish or not so strong growth early next year before ultimately we see the economy picking up much stronger.
Alan Oster there from NAB. And one of the reasons business confidence has surged lately is because of a strength in retail, and especially after the Black Friday and Cyber Monday sales. And the Commonwealth Bank says credit and debit card activity over the past fortnight rose to be 13% higher than a year ago. Here's Craig James, CommSec's Chief Economist, with more.
Well, at the moment, there's no reason why the confidence levels won't continue, provided we can continue to suppress virus numbers here in Australia, continue to reopen. And of course, we have got the tax cuts. We've got the JobKeeper and JobSeeker sort of payments, and the money that a number of people have got out from their superannuation. So there's a lot of stimulus coming into the economy, and confidence levels are very good.
Craig James also mentioned superannuation there, and the OECD overnight has warned early access to super to support those hit financially by COVID-19 is likely to depress future retirement incomes. And it comes following the release of some statistics from the banking regulator, which says 4.8 million applications have been made to the Australian super early release scheme, valued at $35.5 billion, and that's about 1.3% of total super assets. The OECD's global study warns policymakers should balance the long-term and short-term consequences of the pandemic, and that people should continue to save for retirement and avoid selling assets. For more, here is Angel Gurria, the OECD Secretary General.
Allowing early access to retirement savings should be a last resort based on individual exceptional circumstances. Assets earmarked for retirement can support the economic recovery while ensuring that these investments are in the best interest of members. The COVID-19 crisis has also underlined the importance of having long-term savings for emergencies. Introducing long-term savings arrangements that combine a savings account earmarked for retirement and a savings account for emergencies would make retirement savings more resilient.
That's the OECD's Secretary General there, Angel Gurria. That is SBS On The Money for this Tuesday, the 8th of December 2020. I'm Ricardo Gonsalves. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at BusinessRicardo.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.